was the head coach of Louisiana Tech. His thoughts on ESPN New Orleans.
Get Dad the perfect gift now at Macy's Father's Day Sale with an extra 25% off his favorite designers with your coupon or Macy's card. That's on top of already great deals for him, like swim from Club Room starting at $9.99 and his new favorite jeans just $19.99. Or shop specials like 50% off Bulova watches. Plus, get your gifts even faster with same-day delivery powered by DoorDash. Now at Macy's. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
If you're an attorney who struggles with the balance of managing your practice and practicing law, consider Lexicon as your number one pick. From client intake to billing and all that comes in between, Lexicon doesn't miss a thing. Our comprehensive solution combines best-in-class software and services to take care of your firm's most critical challenges, automating many of the tasks that take time out of your day. It's all about giving you more of your billable hours back. And who doesn't love more revenue? No more searching for practice management that works. Lexicon marks the spot. Visit lexiconservices.com to learn what Lexicon can do for you.
It's time for some straight talk. Sure, saving money feels good, but cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like walk-off home run in the ninth inning kind of good. Okay, maybe not that good, but pretty darn good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys, plus no contract. On America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you could pay half? Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM. KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
800-998-1003, Stan Van Gundy. The Pelicans mutually agreeing to part ways after just 8 months. The new head coach of your New Orleans Pelicans will be the third head coach in 3 seasons for Zion Williamson, the fourth head coach in 4 seasons for Brandon Ingram. Got plenty to talk about for sure today.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day!
John already in line. We'll come to you shortly. As we've reached the midway point of your work week. Normally, Jordan, we'd be excited about the weekend. We're going to have a lot of rain, perhaps, coming up on your Father's Day weekend. You got something for Pops yet?
I got something in mind.
Okay. Which means you're going to wait till Friday, maybe Saturday night.
No.
That's what I just heard. Chris Paul placed on the COVID-19 protocol, out indefinitely, tested positive. So that's 10 to 14 days. Words of wisdom.
And to all the ladies, peace and happiness forever.
Kawhi Leonard, ACL injury, out indefinitely. Likely won't be back this series, if not more. Mike Conley, not going to play tonight for the Jazz. Normally, those are all leading the way later this hour. Is it Mike Bianco? Is it the ECU head coach? We'll find out. We'll go check that out later on between 1:30 and 1:45. Darren Grubb next hour, though, on the big news of the day, and that is Stan Van Gundy and the Pels mutually agreeing to part ways. Andrew Lopez and Adrian Wojnarowski breaking that story earlier this morning. 2 ways to chime into the conversation. You can tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. And you can give us a call, like John did, 800-998-1003. John, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Okay. Why doesn't this surprise me?
So you're not surprised by this move at all? Yep.
No, I'm not. I told you a while back, this team, it just didn't seem like Stan Van Gundy. There's no defensive players on this team. He's a defensive coach. I don't think he minds the parting of the ways, as they said, because, I mean, I just think that everybody's talking about Brandon Ingram and the players we got in the trade for Anthony Davis. Okay, Brandon's had a pretty good career. He's done all right. But is he the defensive player on this team? No. I mean, I thought that Alonzo Ball would be a decent defensive player. Who's the point? I mean, there's a lot of who's who on this team. But there's no, okay, this one can play defense. They gave up 130 points way too many times this year. That's not Stan Van Gundy's PO, giving up that many points. It's just not. I mean, I always thought that the deal that should have been done for Anthony Davis was with the Boston Celtics. But like you say, Danny Ainge pulled Ingram off the table when he couldn't get an extension with Anthony Davis. That messed the whole thing up for the Pelicans. Because if Ingram was on that front line with Zion Williams, they'd be a much better team.
Look, as we said in hour number one, I think roster is as
big
much
time.
to be as, you know, whether or not the coach. Because, look, a lot's being made of the relationship with Brandon Ingram and Stan Van Gundy. And when you hear it at first and that relationship, and I'll play it here, because I thought at first that bite starts when he was asked about his first year with Stan. You're like, woof, that's a little cold. But as he went on, I think that's kind of what you have to want, right? I mean, great players want to be coached. I mean, and I go back to, I hate to keep using the reference for Saints fans, but Brady and Arians. I mean, here's a six-time Super Bowl champion, and Arians is like, he played bad. And people in the national media, you can't tell that to Tom Brady. You can't say he stunk. And Tom's like, I did. I played bad. But I thought when you hear that, that was something that really stood out to me. Here's what he had to say, and you can chime in on it.
You know, it's okay. This is our first year together. He has a different coaching style than I'm usually seeing for most, but I was able to learn a lot of things from him this year and learning what he's all about. And I think he's all about winning. He has a different message than everybody else. And he breaks down pretty much every detail of it, but it's all about winning. And our relationship will be even better because of this year. Of what we went through with COVID. I don't know if we'll have another year like this, but we went through with COVID and how he tried to get all his information in to make us a better team. Our communication will be really, really good for the good of our team next year.
I wonder how much, too, John, is this aspect of it? Because, Jordan, you said you can look at this several different ways. Because, again, this was per Andrew and Woj's reporting, this was something that was being discussed for a while. This wasn't just overnight that it happened. Normally, if it was, it would probably be at the end of the season, right? Like Alvin Gentry. What if it's a situation where Stan wanted to play certain players and the word up top was, this is what you're doing? And SVG was like, you know what? If I'm not going to be able to coach the team the way I want, then maybe I'm not the right guy. I wonder how much of that has to do with it, John.
Thank you. Because, like I said, he's a defensive coach. He's not. He's sitting there watching those that are having problems playing defense. Don't you think it had to be something come from somewhere else, or somebody else said, no, we're paying these people this kind of money, they have to play. It had to be. I mean, because, I mean, everywhere he's been with Orlando, Detroit, he's had some very good defensive teams.
Right.
I don't see who on this team plays defense that good.
John, you got to want to play defense. That's part of the problem.
Thank you.
That's why, as Jake said, it's a lot of it is buy-in. And I understand for the common fan, the common person, or the intern in front of me, when you speak of people that make millions, it's hard for you to say, well, show effort and play hard and do that. I understand that. We're different worlds. But at the end of the day,
thank you.
You're watching these playoffs, and Utah and Phoenix have positioned themselves to, you know, maybe go play the Western Conference Finals, and they've looked good this postseason. And I can clearly remember two coaches' interviews on the courts at the end of a quarter in which Quinn Snyder and Monty Williams spoke about their defense as to why defense. they are. Utah shoots.
Thank you.
They got 15 people that shoot threes over there. The mascot shoots a three. Fans shoot a three at halftime to give away cars. Everybody can shoot a three. The Suns have everybody. Both coaches specifically said they're winning games because of their defense. I mean,
okay, Utah,
Stan keeps telling
like
us that,
that,
but we have players on the squad that won't do it.
Utah shoots like that, but they have the defensive player of the year on their team, too.
Didn't block a shot at the buzzer to win the game? I remember that, remember? Left wing, three, at the buzzer?
Yep.
He blocked it.
Who blocked
Rudy Gobert.
It?
Yeah.
There you go, the defensive player of the year. I can see him. He might have went to them and tell them and told them, hey, look, I need to move on from this. He might have been the one to go to them and tell them he needed to move on, that they needed to move on.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, Monty Williams was criticized thoroughly, but he's got a pretty good defensive team in Phoenix because he's got a Hall of Fame point guard. Who's that good a point guard on this team?
Well, look, you've heard me say, I'm sure I'm going to be called wrong by the people over there, but you need a completely different backcourt. I mean, I've been saying that you need a completely, compared to what I've seen this playoff, you need a completely different backcourt. Thank you, John. I got to get to another John here. Appreciate the phone call. Another John. Thank you for calling the show. 800-998-1003. What you got for us today, bud?
Hey, Goss, Jordan. I just want to say two very quick things. Number one is, in my opinion, I think the best option right now for the Pelicans, he's currently got an interim tag in Atlanta, and it's going to be very hard, I think, to pry him away. But Nate McMillan with the Atlanta Hawks right now, who, like I said,
he got in
mid-season. I mean, he is a perfect, perfect candidate considering currently in Atlanta, he's got the young team in Atlanta vying for, you know, a ticket to the Eastern Conference Finals. Very young team, but he's got them defensively bought in. And his rotations are perfect. His matchups are perfect. Nate McMillan needs to be the number one candidate right now for the New Orleans Pelicans. Don't get me wrong. I think Coach Teaspoon's great. I think, you know, Fred Vincent has done amazing work. But, like, Nate McMillan in the current situation he's in is the exact same situation that the Pelicans want to be in. You know, they have their star player, and they've got a young team that literally bought into him on the defensive side of the ball. He's a defensive-minded coach. Like I said, I know we said that about Van Gundy, but Nate McMillan is that actual guy. Second note, and I just wanted to say, as we talked about defense, is the Jrue Holiday trade to me was awful in the sense that Jrue Holiday was that defensive glue guy that the Pelicans had. So if you look at teams like, for example, Monty Williams' Suns, like we mentioned, they have Jay Crowder. He is that defensive glue guy. You have the Milwaukee Bucks. They picked up P.J. Tucker. He is that defensive glue guy. The Pelicans had Jrue Holiday. We no longer have that defensive glue guy. And I don't know who you're going to pick up that are even close to any of the names I mentioned, but that's what the Pelicans are lacking. And it's a guy that's a leader on the defensive side of the ball, and that's what Jrue was. You know, so those are just my two quick notes, and I'm going to just let y'all elaborate on that. But big fan, and happy hump day.
Appreciate it. Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
For the phone call. I can promise you those calls that we had earlier in the year when that trade was made to Milwaukee, you know, the callers that went, why would you trade a guy that, and again, I had to try to explain that because at the time, and I still do understand it and thought it was good, but I also said you had to get something that made sense. Jrue's obviously helped the Bucks this season, and getting told these draft picks are going to eventually turn out. The problem is the draft picks you're getting are from good teams. So they kind of have to not be good for them to value. And it was either Hill or Bledsoe, and you picked one and the other. I mean,
Real estate mogul over on Twitter brings up an interesting point that you were just kind of, you know, having fun with last night that you threw out this name. Maybe we could talk about it later on in the show, but he might be onto something, and it's definitely something that
the same
you
initial
should
as my last name.
Yes, it does have the same initial as your last name.
Mm-hmm. David Grubb up next. get his opinions when we return on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Get ready, Greater New Orleans area. The big one, the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show, is coming for 2 big days only this weekend at the Pontchartrain Center on Williams Boulevard. Show hours are Saturday 9 until 5, Sunday 10 till 5. Hundreds of dealer tables available, full of guns, knives, ammunition, holsters, gun, books, camouflage, jewelry and related items. Hunters and collectors, this big show's for you. Buy, sell, trade, or just spend the day browsing. Ladies are especially welcome. Admission is just $10 for adults and $2 for children ages 6 to 11. Sorry, no one under the age of 18 admitted without a parent. Got any guns to sell? Be sure they're unloaded and bring them to the show. Thousands of buyers will be there. Instant background checks available for gun purchases. The big one, the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show. Show hours 9 to 5 Saturday, 10 till 5 on Sunday. Come to the Pontchartrain Center on Williams Boulevard to exercise your right to keep and bear arms. While you're there, be sure to register for the $50 restaurant gift card. See you there at the big one. Sure as shooting, don't miss it.
Summer heat is approaching, and so are the red hot deals.
Red hot deals
at Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Shop online at GregLeBlancToyota.com or at the store. Great offers like the sporty 21 Toyota Camry or the Corolla with class-leading gas mileage and complimentary 2-year maintenance. Or the stylish and dependable 2021 RAV4 and Highlander. Stop by Greg LeBlanc Toyota and make this a summer to remember with your new Toyota. Only at your number one volume dealer in Houma. Greg LeBlanc Toyota.
If you put a stack of $100 bills and a piece of wood in front of a Formosan termite, what would it eat? Both. They're swarming here and they're hungry. Call Terminex and local experts Dan and Billy Foster, the Bayou Boys. They can treat your home and save you thousands of dollars in damage. Don't let Formosan termites eat you out of house and home. Call Terminex today.
So call those Bayou Boys. They'll get you Terminex tough.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
So Zion Williamson back on the 17th of May.
You know, my stepfather kind of, he just taught me different. Just kind of doing the same thing over and over. Expecting a different result. But, it's kind of insane. So I'm not going to, sit here and say, we're close or this. The reality of it is, it was very disappointing not to be a part of the play-in tournament and stuff. But we just got to come in and just be better. That's just me being real.
At DM Grubbs, the way to follow Mr. David Grubb, host of Hard in the Paint. David, good afternoon. Thank you for your time today. How are you?
I'm doing well. Always a pleasure to talk to you guys.
We'll start with the very easiest of questions here. How surprised were you when you saw the news this morning?
It was a mixture of both. I was surprised that, the firing, of course, you're surprised after less than a year. But you're also not surprised when you hear just the general grumblings around the franchise and the desperation that it has going into year three. I think David Griffin should be, and if he isn't, he is on a hot seat. And he knows that this is a make-or-break season, and I think that he's making a move now to try to ensure that something goes right.
What went wrong in 8 months?
That's a great question, because here we are a couple weeks ago, and you have Griffin saying, Stan's the only one who saw Point Zion. Out of all the candidates we interviewed, he's the only one who had that vision. And then, the defense, you saw it improve over the second half of the season, get much better. They were top 10 defense, top 15 defense for most of the second half of the season. So you saw those things. You saw the individual player improvement. You saw accountability to some extent. I think we all questioned at times the lineups, but I think we questioned whether or not those were Griffin's decisions or Stan's decisions. Ultimately, I think that this is, these are failures. That David Griffin has had 2 years of coaching hires, and he's failed at both of them. You can't say that either was a success because you don't hire coaches to remove them after one season. And the Pelicans are one game better than they were a year ago. And now you go into year three of Zion Williamson and you have no direction. You have no person who is the leader of this franchise. You don't have a player who's the on-court leader of this franchise. And you have more questions than answers than I would say you did 8 months ago.
I think what's interesting is a lot of times you'll see sort of clearly, right, one way or another here. I mean, this is a disaster gumbo, I guess, is sort of what you look at, David, in terms of the roster that the guys you counted on didn't put together. The trade for Jrue Holiday is what you resulted in. And you just also then also look at maybe perhaps how this coach meshed and blended with players. It really just was not good on a lot of different levels, huh?
That's the hardest part of this is where do you find the origin of the failure? What's the Jenga piece that pulled out and made everything collapse? And Griffin himself admits that he has not put together for 2 years the kind of rosters that his coaches have needed. So that's the starting point. You can't win without the right people on your team. I think the whole thing when people talk about relatability is overblown, because I don't think Tom Thibodeau is a relatable person.
Good point.
You know what I mean? I don't think that there are plenty of coaches who I don't think in the NBA who are your best friend. I don't think Nate McMillan is a hugger. You know, I think that people respect coaches who win, and people respect coaches who can communicate their message openly and fairly, no matter how it comes across. I don't know if the Pelicans are receptive to that message, no matter who it comes from, because they had a friendly coach before in Alvin Gentry, somebody you consider a player's coach, and then you have more of a disciplinarian in Stan Van Gundy. So where's that balance? What do you want? And I think that comes down to the players ultimately, because you can put any coach out there on the floor, but if they're not willing to buy in, respect the message, and do the work, then it's not going to work.
It's interesting you bring that up. Nate McMillan was a name that sort of popped in my head. You talk about Tibbs. I know Jordan was adamant when we heard David Griffin and Stan Van Gundy say after, you know, you needed practice and all that. And Jordan, you said you didn't want to buy. You didn't want to hear that you didn't have that time, because other coaches, first year coaches and young players did that. And David, I have used what you have said well earlier in the season repeatedly. And I think it was one of the best analogies or just observations you made when I said, well, you know, we'll wait to see when Zion becomes great. You said, says who? Why does he have to wait? And you brought up, and I'm paraphrasing your words here, but you said essentially Kobe didn't wait. Michael didn't wait. You went and became great. And that has stood out to me all season long, because I think while we're looking at a head coach here, we're looking at a better roster, when it comes to Zion and other players, a mindset needs to grow. We're watching the postseason right now, and there is a, you know, common denominator by superstars that lead their teams here, and it's a mindset to go get it and be great and not wait to be told.
You look at Kevin Durant, what he did last night. That was a huge I'm Kevin Durant performance. You know, he's reestablishing. I was gone with that Achilles, you thought I was done. I just put up a 47-point triple-double on you. Trae Young in that series against Philadelphia does not look like the moment is too big for him. You know, he's ready for this. He's been ready for this since round one with the Knicks when he stood there and bowed at Madison Square Garden. You want that. Devin Booker is embracing this moment, you know, in his career. And you look over at Utah, Donovan Mitchell stepping into this moment and saying, this is mine. I want this. These guys are under 25, and they are coming for the title of being a champion, and they're doing it on their timetable. You know, you're talking about a Hawks team that was 7 games under 500 and won their division and took the Knicks out in 5 and is going toe-to-toe with the number one team in the East. You know, why do you have to wait? It's about what these guys' mindsets are. And do you have any fighters in the core of your team? I'm not talking about bench guys. Bench guys who are on the edge of the league are always going to fight because they want to get paid. But the guys who are your top 5, top 6, is there a leader amongst them? Is there somebody who's willing to do what these guys who you see are champions are willing to do? Yep. Are they willing to fight through screens? Are they willing to take the abuse? Are they willing to be the most hated person in the room, even among their own teammates?
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's somebody on their roster who is.
You know, you bring in even Ja. I mean, he didn't win that series, but you could already see it. I mean, he tweets the second he gets off the court. Wait for the next season. I can't wait. Yep. You know, and you saw what he averaged. I mean, again, so to your point, it's a mindset to it. So all that said, speaking with David Grubb, host of In the Paint, at DM Grubb on Twitter, he must follow. Who can get that out of some of these players? Because we're going to see names that we know, and we'll see some names that possibly could be historical or not. Where do you think you need to get it right with? Like, who you need to get it right with? Who do you think is what this organization needs at this time?
Certainly they need somebody who can coach, like, as far as training players. These young people still have a lot of gaps in their game. So they need someone who can assemble a staff that can develop skills. And I think that's why you see early on Fred Benson and Teresa Witherspoon's names in. Though I don't think Fred Benson is the type that would be a head coach. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's that guy. He's really great individually. I like Teresa's passion, of course, and her knowledge, her basketball IQ. When you talk about the things this team is missing, IQ, toughness, that just dogged after attitude, that's her. And I think there are a couple of other coaches, you know, that you'd like to see, but it's how much money now are the Pelicans willing to spend, because you're paying off Stan Van Gundy. You had to pay off Alvin Gentry a year ago. You've lost some money, apparently. You know, as every team is going to say, you've lost money during this pandemic. How much is Gail Benson going to keep opening her checkbook for not the kinds of results that she thought she was investing in? So I think that changes who's available to you as well. And then when coaches look at this and say, you're not giving people 2 years to set up a system, and you didn't do it in the middle of a pandemic when they couldn't coach, they didn't have practice, they didn't have, you know, travel time together, all these things, and you fired a guy after 1 year, there are going to be a lot of coaches who don't want to jump into that.
Mm-hmm. Very good point. And obviously all of this matters. You try to either get free agency, you have the draft, and all those different situations. What message, again, we'll hear what David Griffin's going to tell us here at 3 o'clock. If I'm a Pels fan today, and we've got several calls, and it was mentioned earlier in the show by our guests, 19 years, 2 playoff series wins. Why should they be hopeful right now?
And take that aside. Take just David Griffin and say, here you've had 2 years. You've been gifted more than a kid at Charles Xavier School. You got all the gifts. You got a number one pick. You had the trade assets that you had. You've had 2 seasons with an expanded playoff, and you couldn't make either of those. You made 2 coaching hires that you had to rectify within a year. What makes me have faith in you? You've got to sell me, David Griffin, that I should have faith in you in making this decision for the third time, that you're going to get it right, and that you're going to go out and get the free agents that this team needs, and you're going to make the right decisions in the draft that this team needs this year. I'm having to trust you when, after 2 years, what you've said to me in your press conferences has not been reflected in the product I've seen on the floor.
Solid point, especially considering that no other GM, no other, I guess, management group has had the, I guess, backing of an owner like he has right now. And you mentioned checkbook, facility upgrades, trainers, getting coaches, you know, what was it, the Jurassic Park guy, right? Hammond saying, you know, spare no expense. I mean, you do kind of get that sense, and David's been hired, that's what it's like. And, man, it's tough to paint it any other way. Expanded playoffs, as you just said, David, 2 years, can't get in.
And then you look behind you and you look in front of you, how many of these teams in the West do you think are falling off enough for you to pass them? And how many of them behind you are coming up that might catch you?
At DM Grubbs, the way to follow him on Twitter. As always, man, I appreciate the time. Always an insightful conversation when we get you.
Thanks so much, Gus. Anytime.
Appreciate it, for sure. Mr. David Grubb, go give him a follow at DM Grubb, host of Heart in the Paint. Quick break. We come back. Jordan, we'll switch quickly to baseball because still waiting to find out who's going to be a head coach. This morning, the athletic director for Ole Miss said, me and Mike, we're going to have a little chat. There's a lot of info out there. Like to know what's going on. Ben Mintz. Bayou Ben Mintz.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to hear from him, the very latest up there from Oxford. Quick little interview, and we'll open up the phone lines again. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
What happened was unthinkable. Work as we know it powered down. But Etail is here to keep business on. On to turn your home office into a powerhouse. On to plan your epic power lunch. On to keep your virtual team connected. On to make you unstoppable. This is the one thing Etel Business can do for you, and that's connecting you to work every day. Etel is on for business.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
It's time for some straight talk. Sure, saving money feels good, but cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like walk-off home run in the ninth inning kind of good. Okay, maybe not that good, but pretty darn good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys, plus no contract. All on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you can pay half? Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Get Dad the perfect gift now at Macy's Father's Day Sale with an extra 25% off his favorite designers with your coupon or Macy's card. That's on top of already great deals for him, like swim from Club Room starting at $9.99 and his new favorite jeans just $19.99. Or shop specials like 50% off Bulova watches. Plus, get your gifts even faster with same-day delivery powered by DoorDash. Now at Macy's. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Get it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back to the Sports Hangover. Big news coming out this morning. The New Orleans Pelicans and Stan Van Gundy have mutually agreed to part ways, and that leads us to the question of the day. What are your thoughts, Pelicans fans? Who do you want to see as the Pelicans' next head coach? You could comment or call in 800-998-1003 or comment at ESPN Radio NOLA over on Twitter.
All right. Speaking of coaching and coaching changes, we're bringing by you Ben at Barstool Mitzi. It's the way to follow on Twitter. Ben, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Oh, doing good. That was a bombshell. Van Gundy thing this morning. Certainly been following that. And I'm getting ready to head out to Omaha to cover the College World Series tomorrow. So I'm doing really good.
You know, it's interesting, obviously, depending, no matter the sport, anytime there's coaching changes, it's either one coach going to another opportunity, which we're going to probably get into here in a quick sec, or expectations not being met. Have you ever found like a common denominator on that in terms of expectation levels? I always feel like fan bases expect certain things. And what's reality or not? It's sort of hard to win. I saw a tweet earlier, and the reason I bring this up, Ben, you only have like five coaches that have been with their team longer than like 3 or 4 years in the NBA. Everybody else is like new. It's incredible. It's hard to apparently be employed as a coach in professional sports.
Well, yeah, that's true. The big thing that I want to see the Pelicans do is just take a shot. I don't care. Even if it doesn't work, go with somebody young and innovative. These retread NBA coaching hires got to stop. And Van Gundy, that was, what, his fourth team in the last 11 or 12 years. And when you looked at that Pels team last year, it just felt like they were so out of touch with the modern NBA, with the floor spacing, with the, you know, just like the three-point defense was awful. But it just felt like they were kind of playing a style that was like 8 or 10 years ago a little bit. Mm-hmm. The game's just changed so much with the spacing and the three-point shooting, especially for big guys.
You know, it's interesting you say that young, innovative things of that nature. I retweeted earlier today. I thought it was fabulous watching Peyton Manning and Tony Vitello back and forth.
Omaha.
And yes, and Peyton's going, Omaha. I mean, it's fantastic. Because, look, I don't like to do it, but I do it every now and then, Ben. I went to the message boards. And I got to tell you, there's a lot of LSU fans that are leery of Coach Mike over there at Ole Miss. And they keep referencing a young, energetic guy like Vitello. And obviously you just saw this series. With that, when you look at college baseball, it's changed from the Berkman days. It's changed over the last several years. What is a good college baseball coach, in your opinion, right now?
Well, the BFO thing is fascinating because I think it's harder to win. Like, though, everybody at LSU is obviously going to say, look, it's only made one Omaha once in 20, 21 years. And when you're at LSU, you know, you think of LSU baseball the same way you think of Bama football and Kentucky basketball. Mm-hmm. Pure blue blood sport. So expectations got to be a lot higher. But I think it's a lot easier to win at LSU than it is Ole Miss, especially I know you can kind of do some of the loopholes and tops and getting some of the in-state guys in, and then you use your scholarships for out-of-state guys. You can't do any of that at Ole Miss. And, you know, I thought Bianco, look, Ole Miss couldn't get 500 fans to baseball games when he got there when I was there fall of 2001. And so wow. I know he's disappointed some of the postseason, but I think he's built up a steady program. He recruits well. He'll get – obviously he understands LSU's culture. You know, he's a big Skip Berman. I think he'd do really well there. Be honest, I think it could be a lot worse. Now, but Vitello, you're not gonna, I just can't see how Tennessee's gonna let him go. They've got money, they got resources. I know their stadium's under 5,000 people, but I look for them to bring a ton of fans to Omaha. I mean, tickets to Super Regional were going for like $650. I think Danny White, their AD, is gonna pony it up. They're gonna expand their stadium and they're gonna hold on to them. My prediction.
There was a report this morning that athletic director Keith Card over there at Ole Miss was gonna have a morning meeting. He said, this is what we normally do, but at the same time, there's a lot of info out there that Bianco could be maybe heading over to LSU. What do you think that meeting was about? Do you think it was to try to keep him? And is there anything you can keep him if Mike is offered the job? Do you think he will be offered the job?
I do. I think he's going. I think it's going to happen. I think when you look at LSU, you know, obviously dealing with the Title IX issues, and I'm not going to get into all that too much, but I think when they look at Bianco, it's a guy they know they can trust. He, you know, played for LSU. He's going to run a clean program, and I think that that's got to be an emphasis right now with what's going on with some of the other stuff, football and basketball, and I think that's a big part of the draw thing. And I think, like I said, I think he'll do really well. I can understand LSU fans are weary because, you know, Ole Miss, once again, missing Omaha, it's certainly become a trend. But I think Bianco is going to be the guy for them, and I feel like it's going to get a lukewarm reception, and he's going to end up doing a better job than people think.
I guess what's the one thing that Tiger fans should know about him? There's a lot of history, obviously. As you said, we probably know a ton of them. But somebody that maybe covers him has seen that program sort of go, what would be something that maybe we didn't know that perhaps from Coach
Bianco? Well, I mean, it's a very obvious thing that he was a catcher, you know, at Ole Miss, at LSU, you know, obviously called Ben McDonald. But you're going to have elite catchers and shortstops, I can tell you that. Ole Miss always has great guys at both positions, just nonstop. Bianco does a fantastic job mentoring the catchers. I think that'll be a big thing. And I just think he's a solid, solid recruiter. And, I mean, I know Ole Miss, they pull some top three, top five classes, but I think he's just overall a good program builder. And you look at it, look, I think, you know, you're talking about an Ole Miss program that had no tradition before him. I mean, yeah, are they a top five program in the country? No. But they're top 15 and top 20 every year in the SEC and SEC West and up in college baseball. And I think, you know, when he goes from Ole Miss to LSU with the resources he's going to have and the recruiting, I think they can be a top five, top 10 program. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever going to do what Skip Berkman did, obviously, but I think they can do a lot worse there.
Yeah, no doubt. Before we wrap up, sir, and again, thank you for your time. You said you were going to go over to Omaha. When you look at the teams over there, Vandy, Arizona, Stanford, NC State, Texas, Tennessee, Mississippi State, and Virginia, who do you like in bracket one, in bracket two, and who do you think will be the national champion?
Well, first of all, I've never been to Omaha because I'm an Ole Miss fan.
You're not helping. You're not helping, Ben.
I know. The one year we made it. I was back in college in 2014 when I just moved. I just moved back to New Orleans to Oxford, and I was pretty broke coming out the paper world, so we couldn't quite afford Omaha at that point, the summer of 14. But as far as looking at the bracket now, first of all, I'm just super excited to get out there. I've kind of gone on a big mission at Barstool. I got hired. Really, I felt like to help build our South and Southeast content along with Brandon Walker. And they hadn't even touched college baseball until I got there. And, you know, I'm not saying we're setting the world on fire, but there's definitely a big buzz about it in the office. Dave Portnoy is just hammering me because I had a horrible gambling weekend last weekend. And he took a bunch
see
of
that
my
video.
I felt it
through the video.
When I walked in on Monday and he was decked out in Arkansas Razorback gear, I was like, oh, my God. But, you know, that's, you got to stick to in this business. You work for Barstool. You got to be able to take the heat. I can take it. But we got a buzz, and we're creating something here. We're going to be out in Omaha next week. We're going to
we're going to be doing, I'm on Pick Central, which is our Barstool Sportsbook daily gambling show. We're going to be doing 11 to noon every day from Omaha. And we've got a really funny subplot here because I cannot stand Mississippi State. And if I have to go out there and they make a national championship run, that's the cover with Brandon Walker. This is going to be murder on me. So I've got, that's certainly funny. When I look at the bracket, one side, you got Vandy against Arizona. Arizona, one of the top offenses in the country. I could not have been more impressed by how good their offense was last week when they hammered Ole Miss in that game three. You know, you look at Vandy, obviously, with Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter. You know, maybe the best 1-2 combo in college baseball. The only one I can remember was that Trevor Bauer and Garrett Cole in that 2013 UCLA team who won it all with a .220 batting average. That's how good the pitching staff was. But so Vandy, you got to think, the favorite. The other part of that, Stanford is red hot, and honestly, they're bad for business. They're a private school with no fans, so I'm really not hoping they do well because it doesn't help Barstool, but they're coming in red hot. Brandon Beck's their ace, shut down Texas Tech. I feel like people are sleeping on them, and then, you know, you look at NC State, you're talking about a team that was 1-8 in the ACC to start it,
yeah.
And they end up second in the regular season, second in the tournament. They crush everybody in that Ruston Regional. Beat Louisiana Tech 22-10 in two games. And if you go to Arkansas and you lose 21-2 on Friday night and have the heart to bounce back to win 2-1 scoring games, you got to get – I mean, that was a serious championship medal. They showed up there in Fayetteville, bounced back from that 19-run loss. So I feel like that bracket's kind of wide open. I mean, you got to think Vandy's the favorite because of Rocker and Leiter. But, you know, I don't know, you know, necessarily how strong. The other side of the bracket's fascinating. Because Texas, Mississippi State, I mean, you got two fan bases that are going to travel. That's going to be super wild Sunday night.
Yeah.
Tennessee got to be a decent favorite over Virginia. Virginia, a 3-seed, kind of got through a weird regional in Columbia. You had the 1-seed Old Dominion who wasn't at home. I think, you know, Virginia's got a nice pitcher, an ace pitcher in Abbott, good closer. But I think they're the worst of those four teams. But, you know, you really look at it, I mean, Texas has the best starters. But they got Tom Madden and two other really good guys. So I'd say Texas is the favorite just because they have three super strong starters on that one side. So I'll say Vandy and Texas, but honestly, especially judging by how my picks went last weekend.
So I should say advisory or, you know, one of those little asterisks here.
Well, the
following comment, about, the following picks, I would not choose.
I went 6-0 the Monday before it, and I had LSU to win that regional. And No, and so that's the funny part of the whole story. Right when I get hot, you start getting a little confidence, and then people start chirping in the office. And you fall. That's gambling. So.
It's how it works. Well, if you don't mind, we might check in with you, man, since you'll
there
in Omaha.
No, of course. Look, I'll say this. I lived in New Orleans from 09 to 14. I am Monster Saint, Monster Pelicans, huge New Orleans food, music, culture fan. I just actually helped host an NC Hawks and the Calls down in New Orleans.
Nice.
They raised $2.8 million for families fighting pediatric brain cancer. Yep. I mean, I got to be honest. I got hired at Barstool the first day I walked in. I'm like, I'm your New Orleans guy. they don't have one up here. And I'm getting an unbelievable response to the community. It means really a lot to me. I'm getting a lot of support from New Orleans. So
nice, man. We'll make it a thing, man, for sure. Bayou Ben. On Twitter at Barstool Mincy, MINTZY. Go give a follow like I just did, sir. Look forward to talking to you. We'll chat with you next week, man.
Yeah, let's make it happen. I had your old friends with my boy Sean Fox. So, you know, he got me into the business. I'm glad to do it.
Yep, he's coming on at 2:05, unfortunately. But that's the way we work. Believe me, when I go on, he has to have me, and I need to have him on today to talk about Teresa Weatherspoon. So, thank you,
man.
Yeah,
he literally got my job that started my career. He got me the job.
Wow.
Childhood friends. So we go.
Well, I'll bring it up here at the top of the hour when he comes on.
Thank y'all for having me.
For sure.
Thank
here
you,
he
Ben.
Goes. Bayou Ben. Quick break. We come back. We'll open up the phone lines yet again. 800-998-1003. Jordan, give you a little time to kind of get into it. We've been going a lot heavy with the guests and the sound. Your thoughts on this as well. Were you surprised or not? And can you kind of feel the angst a little bit from Pels fans? Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans.
Calvin Braxton Ford is your brand new car dealer in Lockport, Louisiana. They cannot wait for you to stop in and take a look at their big town inventory and small town prices. Schedule your test drive today and let one of their trained sales staff help you every step of the way. Their skilled management team ensures that you'll have a phenomenal experience, whether it be sales, service, parts, or financing. Ford, the number one brand in America. Stop by today at Calvin Braxton Ford, 5878 Highway 1 in Lockport.
It's Mike to tell you for Neal Small Engine Incorporated. Listen up. That's what we did at Gravely. We listened to lawn professionals. Then we brought the professional performance home. Gravely residential zero-turn mowers show the neighborhood that you mean business. Zero turns that are as tough as nails, operator comfort beyond compare. We've had 100 years of professional advice to perfect cutting performance. Just drop the deck, put the neighbors on notice. Gravely, driven from within. At Neal Small Engine Incorporated. Locations in Houma, LaRose, and Thibodeau.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply. 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
At CDW, we get that hybrid working might take some getting used to.
Yep, I'm only in the office part-time, so my cat can adjust to me being gone.
How nice. Wherever you're working, CDW can help you stay connected by implementing secure by design HP Chrome OS devices with built-in virus protection.
Gotta run. The boss is calling.
Mr. Whiskers sounds very demanding. IT orchestration by CDW. People who get it. Find out more at cdw.com/HP Chromebook.
The man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Our thanks to Ben. As, we will see how this goes later today or this week. More news in the NBA, as we've already touched on it already in the show. Chris Paul out. At least 10 to 14 days in COVID protocol. He apparently tested positive for COVID-19. The Western Conference Finals can start anywhere, I think, Sunday or Monday. Something that he likely will miss, Game 1, looks like. Although he was vaccinated in February, so it may not be the length. They've changed the times that you've been out for several reasons, so we will see. With that, Kawhi Leonard, an ACL injury. Mike Conley is not going to be available for Game 5. Joel Embiid's questionable for the game tonight with his meniscus and all the minutes that he played. So injuries is a big, big part of everything that we've been talking about here. And, of course, Stan Van Gundy and the Pelicans announcing officially earlier this morning that they have agreed to mutually part ways. And we just spoke with Ben Mintz a little bit about the Ole Miss situation. And Mike Bianco, is he going to come to LSU or not? Cliff Godwin, the other name that's been thrown out there as the last two possible candidates, likely from ECU. And to kind of help us talk a little bit about that, is Tyler Feldman. You can follow him on Twitter, Tyler Feldman at TV. Tyler, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Gosh. Great to be with you. When Jordan called me and checked in with me earlier this week, I told him, hey, any day this week is fine. I knew today would be the best day, though, especially down in New Orleans with all that basketball.
Right. Yeah, I apologize, and thank you for moving around a little bit, because I was sitting there, I'm like, I'm on with Jordan, and it's like 10-something, and I'm like, okay, first hour's got to be all hoops and, you know, try to get everything into it. So I appreciate you moving your schedule a little bit. But, look, we just spoke with Ben. He thinks that it's going to be Mike. Why is Cliff involved in the coaching search for LSU, do you think? Like, why Cliff?
Cliff's involved because Cliff, you know, I've been in this industry for almost a decade, and Cliff is arguably the smartest head coach I've ever covered and dealt with personally. He's very self-aware. He's very aware of perception, and he's very passionate. And you can see that just through how he treats his players. His players love him. He loves the game. And he really has that deep passion for college baseball and to also get to Omaha, which he's been unable to do so far at his alma mater, ECU. And he has SEC experience. You know, he's been under so many of those head coaches in the SEC currently. Mm-hmm. So his name deserves to be in that conversation. But, again, I think until he figures out a way to get to Omaha here with ECU, his alma mater, I don't think he's going to jump ship just yet.
Speaking with Tyler Feldman from WITN over in Greenville, you know, it's interesting you bring that up because, again, you go to message boards for whatever it is, Tyler, and LSU fans
are like, the best place to go.
Exactly. for a laugh sometimes, right? Because I always say this, the expectation level. I mean, the days of what Burtman did, that's not today's college baseball. And I think, and I'm not the only one saying it. Everyone that kind of covers the game and sees it keeps saying it, but fans maybe don't want to realize it and see it. You just mentioned it, that, you know, Coach Godwin there is trying to get to Omaha. Mike over in Ole Miss has gotten there once. It's not easy to do so, is it? Yet they've been able to get wins. They, you know, in Cliff's situation, the best team in his conference routinely and always a good program there. I don't know. Do you think fans maybe sometimes have an unrealistic expectation of how hard it actually is to get to Omaha now?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. Especially in the SEC and especially at ECU, these fans have these expectations and these lofty goals. And look at NC State upsetting Arkansas to get to Omaha. So you just never know. And Cliff's just such an emotional and passionate guy. I tweeted about a month ago, ECU should just offer Cliff a blank check because SEC school after school is going to come calling, and they're going to give him a lot more money and a lot more resources than he has here at ECU. So I don't think the Pirates necessarily can afford Cliff Godwin. It's what Cliff Godwin necessarily wants for his life and what he wants to accomplish. That's going to be the end goal because he's going to get offered jobs. He's going to be in conversation, mm-hmm. not just for this position at LSU, but down the road as well. So who knows? If Mike Bianco gets this job at LSU, then that leaves Ole Miss. Cliff has ties to Ole Miss. So the coaching carousel involving Cliff Godwin will just continue as more SEC jobs get picked up.
A very good point. Speaking with Tyler Feldman over in Greenville, I asked Ben this question about what is something that Bianco, that perhaps a lot of people maybe don't know about. He's like, look, you're going to get good catchers, good shortstops. What's a good trait that you think that is a, you know, calling card of a Godwin-led baseball team?
I think it's relatability because what Cliff's able to do that I've seen from other coaches where they've failed is connecting with younger players. And what makes Cliff and the program so special is, yes, they are consistent. Six super regionals in program history. They've gone to five in the – who knows? I can't even tell you. They've just been super consistent, and they're just right on that cusp of getting to Omaha. But Cliff's able to relate to his players, and you can see the love. Matt Bridges was a six-year senior this year, one of the leaders, the veterans on the team, and he had this long, long social media post thanking Cliff Godwin, this picture of the two of them embracing. And that's what I think Cliff brings to the table is, yes, the game's great, you want to win, but there's more to life than just winning baseball games. It's building character. The team had a 3.69 GPA this past season, highest ever. So Cliff totally gets it. He gets that there's more to life than baseball, even though baseball is his life. So I think it's only a matter of time and whether or not he wants to, you know, take a lot more money in the SEC as a head coach or if he wants to complete his goal of getting to Omaha with ECU.
I was going to say that, Tyler. Look, when all this started coming out with Paul, and then obviously I would say, look, money is nice. Don't get me wrong. But it's not like maybe perhaps saying college football, Tyler, where, I mean, it's going to be a difference of a mil and a half or something, right? But, I mean, you're not going to go from making a couple hundred thousand to a mil to $5 million because it's an SEC school, not in baseball just yet. And you have to be willing to – right, go ahead.
I mean, Gus, I would say yes, but you're looking at a Power 6 school like ECU, so the jump would be a little bit more drastic going from the American Athletic Conference. It wouldn't be all that drastic, but – I think the ECU job for Cliff will always be here. If he wanted to pursue another opportunity in a school in the SEC that would have more resources, then I think that will always be on the plate for him.
Right, and that's what I was going to get into, too, is the willingness to take on, you're talking about the expectation levels in Greenville, the expectation levels over, say, like at a school at an LSU or something. I mean, that's what I've been saying. For some of these coaches, They're the guys. The field's going to be named after them. They'll be known as the winningest coach and things of that nature. The pressure level's a little different. You know, that's what I mean. Like, how much of that you think is important for Godwin to prove that he can do it at different levels? Or, as you've been kind of hinting here, maybe doing it there and showing that he is there and he can build his own legacy, and he is the legacy there.
Exactly. I mean, that's going to be up to Cliff Godwin. I think every college baseball coach, to some degree, has some form of ego. That's what I think makes the game so great, as I've covered college baseball, is when you have a coach that's aware, that's super smart, that knows the game, that relates to his players, but that also has that understanding. I mean, Cliff, from a journalistic standpoint, I've gotten a lot better at asking questions, because if you're going to ask Cliff a question, you better know what you're talking about. So I think if Cliff could stay at ECU his whole entire career, they'd name the field after him. He'd probably get to Omaha a handful of times. It's going to come down to what he wants. And he has so much experience in the SEC, so I think he has a good grasp on that situation. Also, with how to handle SEC fans as well.
Very good point. Final thing to wrap up with you, sir, since you said you cover a little college baseball on the scene as well. It sets up for an interesting weekend, huh? Vandy, Arizona, Stanford, NC State in bracket one. Bracket two, Texas, Tennessee, Mississippi State, Virginia. Got a pick as to who will meet in the championship series?
I think, and this could be a recency bias, but after watching Vanderbilt, their 1-2 punch with Rocker and Leiter, if they're on, that team is going to be very hard to beat, because the Pirates mustered just one run on five hits in 18 innings against Vanderbilt, and this is a team that was very well balanced, and those two guys pretty much shut the door. So I think if Vandy and their 1-2 punch are electric, as they were in the Super Regionals and like they've been all season, they're going to be a tough out. But again, that's what makes Omaha great. Anything can happen.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what takes place. And again, when you look at you guys, you know, playing, oh, there, it's not like it was a beating or anything of that nature, you know. It was 2-0 and 4-1.
No, they were close games.
Exactly.
Yeah. They were close games, 2-0 in game one. I mean, look at NC State. They started ACC play 1-8, and then all of a sudden – they're winning ball games and upsetting top-seeded Arkansas. So I think that's what makes Omaha, that's what makes this time of the year so great in college baseball.
It's just hard. It's hard to get to Omaha, sir. Thank you for a little insight on Cliff Godwin, and appreciate your time today.
Gus, thanks a bunch. Thanks to Jordan as well. Appreciate it, guys. Be well.
Thank you so much, Tyler. Appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. At Tyler Feldman TV, it's the way to follow him over on Twitter. Tyler Feldman from WITN over in Greenville. So just wanted to take those two quick little tidbits there, because
get a little update.
This seems to be the name. And that's why I wanted to ask him specifically, like, kind of coach are you bringing in there? I know we get kind of lost and caught up in the win-loss record.